It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello. It is yet another fine day in 2A Radio land. I got to tell you, the last couple of weeks have been, kind of odd for me. It was not this past weekend, but the weekend prior to that. I went out shooting with a buddy of mine that I shoot with on a regular basis, and he wanted me to meet, three other guys that I think a couple were relatives, one was a friend of a relative and things, and good guys. And he wanted me to go out and do some shooting with these guys, which usually means, hey, will you take some of your instructional time and, you know, teach these guys a thing or two? And then maybe, hey, I heard this guy's pretty cool. Can you kind of evaluate his stories and his claims for his shooting skills and blah, blah, blah. So, and all that's very cool. But I have to tell you, after this most recent experience about 9 or 10 days ago now, I don't think I am going to go shooting with members of the general public whom I have not shot with before ever again. Unless it's going to be in some form of a class, and in that class, I'm teaching it. Now, if it's someone who's been tuned up and gone through some training before, that's fine. But it's someone who's never received good, solid, honest to goodness, real live, solid training, I just have no interest anymore. I end up having my head on such a swivel around people that I've never shot with before and going nuts with all of the unsafe practices that happen when most people go shooting. And here's the thing that really irks me. The vast majority of Americans that own guns and will go out and shoot recreationally have no idea how unbelievably unsafe they really are with their gun handling and, most importantly, with their muzzle control. And, of course, the one thing that actually gets people shot, having your finger on the trigger when it doesn't belong there. There's a very finite amount of time where your finger actually belongs on the trigger. And, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand it. Stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. So, we're going to continue on where we left off the last segment. It would seem as though the average American gun enthusiast that goes out for target practice and plinking outdoors and things such as that, their safety level is just something that they don't understand. Let me actually go through the four universal firearm safety rules. Now, keep in mind that when you go to the NRA has three rules, which are not good enough. When you buy a Remington firearm, you end up with the 10 commandments of firearm safety. Very little of it has much to do with actual firearm safety. It has to do with liability. Here's the deal. Firearm safety doesn't really have squat to do with storing the gun. Firearm safety has to do with when it's in your possession, in your hands. And let's review those. Rule one, treat all guns as if they are loaded. There is no goofing off with an unloaded gun, which means there's no goofing off with a gun because you must treat it as if it were loaded. You might be keenly aware that it's unloaded, having checked, made sure that the chamber was empty, there is no ammunition in the gun or in any magazine or cylinders or anything such as that. And you verified this maybe twice over to ensure that it's empty. You still treat it as if it were loaded. Okay, let me give you a perfect example. A guy ends up grabbing a revolver, empties it out, closes a cylinder back up, turns it around. He's now looking down the muzzle. Thumb on the trigger. Grabs a cleaning rod with a brush, which has been, you know, dipped in some sort of cleaning solvent. Scrubs down the bore and into the chamber. Pulls the cleaning rod out with his thumb, click, with the muzzle pointing at his face. Goes to the next cylinder. It's called speed cleaning, right? And it's a bad idea. Goes through this until finally, one bullet that did not drop out of the cylinder of the revolver, that he did not notice, he's got the other bullet sitting on the table where he dumped him, bam, shoots himself in the face and kills him. Kills himself. This guy was a police firearms range master. Okay? He's somebody who actually knew better. But he knew so much, he didn't have to pay attention to those rules. Would you ever do that with a loaded gun? The answer is no. He wouldn't have done it knowing that there was a round in the chamber, but he didn't treat the gun as if it were loaded. Treat these guns as if they're loaded. Rule two, never cover anything with the muzzle you're not willing to destroy. Now, in layman's terms, never point the gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. That includes yourself and when you're out shooting or in the house putting guns away or something. You don't point them at anybody else. If I never look down the muzzle of another gun, of a careless gun handler, I would be happy as could be. The sad fact is, I end up seeing the muzzles of people who are being careless with handling their guns on a far too regular basis. Last time I went out, about 10 days ago now, I must have saw, I guess about 15 times before I decided finally, you know, I've had it, I'm checking out. 15 times in an hour and a half, I was looking at the muzzle of someone else's gun. One of them was trained very well. And for some reason or another, since everyone else is being unsafe, oh, what the heck? This is a theme of the day. Rather than raising everybody else up to the higher level, oh, let's drop down to the lowest common denominator of gun handling. No, let's not. You pull a gun out of a bag, you just don't start swinging it around. You know what direction the muzzle's in. Open up the back of the bag, see where the stock of this long gun is, notice where the muzzle is pointing, find yourself a safe direction, and take it out of the bag. Or better yet, stand it up so the muzzle's pointed upwards, and then lift the bag off of the gun. You know, kind of shuttle it up in your hand. Then ensure that it's unloaded. Check the chamber. Make sure there's no ammo in the gun in any magazine, be it a tube magazine, a internal box magazine, a cylinder, whatever it may be on your particular gun. Make sure there's no ammo in there. Safely, in a safe direction. Now, rule three. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Now, the original version of this rule was keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to shoot. Well, those of us who actually do defensive style shooting realize that sometimes you may be shooting with this gun tucked right up against your rib cage and fighting off someone who's on top of you. You might never see your sights, but your muzzle's right there. It's nearly touching, if not actually touching, the adversary. It's called fighting at close contact. So the rule has changed to keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. If that includes having your sights on target, then so be it. Now, rule three is the way people get killed. The way they get hurt, the way they get killed. First of all, if your muzzle is pointed at someone, you're violating rule two. Someone can get hurt or killed. If your finger's on the trigger, someone can get hurt or killed. Now, rule three and rule two both have to be violated for someone to actually get injured or killed. Don't ever allow yourself to do those things. Keep your finger not just off the trigger, but in fact outside of the trigger guard and above the level of the trigger guard onto the frame of the gun. That's where your finger needs to be straight. Essentially, if the gun were pointed at the target, your finger would also be pointed at the target, maybe even a tiny bit high over the target because it's high and off of the trigger. That's where your finger belongs until your muzzle is pointed at the target and you're ready to shoot. That's when your finger finally goes to the trigger. There is no exception to that rule. Then rule four. Rule four is be aware of your target and what's in line with your target. Now, most places that put together some faux set of rules will say, be aware of your target and what's behind it. No, what's in line with it? If I get a target that's 100 yards away, and I'm aware of my target and what's behind it, okay, what's behind it? Well, there's a hill behind it. Okay, it's safe. But that rule, if you say, be aware of your target, what's behind it, that doesn't account for anything between the muzzle and the target itself. You might be aware of your target, what's behind it, but if somebody on an ATV drives by or a hiker walks across, then you're still following that particular rule unless you go with the proper rule. Be aware of your target, what's in line with it. That is from your muzzle to where the bullet stops moving. That is what you need to be aware of. Okay. Notice all four of these gun handling, four universal firearm safety rules have to do with when the gun is with you. All right. Now, if you want to go with some sort of a blanket rule for storage of the gun, it's very simple. Keep your gun or guns inaccessible to untrained or untrained or people who aren't of any sort of a mental or physical status to be grabbing them. Untrained or unqualified. Keep your guns inaccessible to untrained or unqualified people. Or to those that you just don't want to have them accessible to. So keep your guns secured from people who shouldn't be putting their hands on them. Now, that's not one of the universal firearm safety rules. It's just the right idea when it comes to storing the guns. Okay. Are there any questions? Do I see any hands? Is everyone clear on this? Yes, you in the back. Okay. The question is, well, you talked before about dry practice with the gun. How am I supposed to dry practice if all guns are always loaded? No. All guns aren't always loaded. Treat all guns as if they are loaded. If you're doing dry practice with your gun, you treat it as if it were loaded. That means not just haphazardly waving it around. The backstop that you're going to use, let's say you're dry practicing in your house, don't use a window. Don't dry practice into the next bedroom. Don't drag practice into the living room where people are at. Find some solid wall facing outdoors and use that. You know what I use? The solid door going out to my garage. That's what I use. Because it's a solid fire door. Guys, more coming at you after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. I'm going to switch gears now away from the gun safety and gun handling. And I'm going to go through an article written that's entitled Problem with the Second Amendment. You know, in Sun Tzu's Art of War, they say, know thy enemy. So we're going to learn a little bit about the enemy right now. It says, the Second Amendment in the Constitution allows Americans to bear arms. But this was written in the 18th century when Homeland Security was dependent on local militias. Today, guns are more of a liability than a necessity. According to the Stop Handgun Violence Organization, 40% of American households with children have guns. A gun in the home is 22 times more likely to be used in an unintentional shooting than to be used to injure or kill in self-defense. Gun laws vary from state to state. Most states require a permit to carry, with the exception of Vermont, Arizona, and Alaska, whom require no permit. The scariest part of the subject is that 37 states don't even require a background check to purchase firearms. For example, all of the guns used in the Virginia Tech massacre were purchased legally. According to firearms regulation in Canada, the gun death rate per 100,000 people in America, 13.47, is much higher than England, which is 0.4, and hundreds of times higher than that of Japan, which is 0.07. This is saying that the U.S. has the most firearms-related deaths in the world. This correlates with the fact that Americans own half of the guns in the world. There must be mandatory background checks on firearms purchasers. 51% of the guns used in crimes by juveniles and people 18 to 24 were acquired by straw purchasers, people who buy several guns legally through licensed dealers, then sell them to criminals, violent offenders, and kids. Most pro-gun people argue that a person has to pull the trigger, but if the person had not been given a gun in the first place, would there be a trigger to pull? Any determined murderer would be able to kill anyways, whether it be stabbing, beating, or strangling, but a gun makes the job that much easier. They only have to pull the trigger. In reality, the ban of firearms is not likely possible. Every time the subject is politically debated, the NRA comes out waving the Second Amendment. But there are always ways to reduce crimes, homicides, and suicides. What needs to be done is to put stronger restrictions on firearms. The background checks alone would help reduce violent crimes significantly. Also, permits should be required for all handgun owners. Finally, to gain permits, the person must be educated on the laws of owning a handgun and also instructed in the proper usage of the handgun. Okay, let's dissect this and tear this apart. And this is going to take a spell. The Second Amendment in the Constitution allows Americans to bear arms. Okay, let's actually correct this. The Second Amendment to the Constitution recognizes the Americans' unalienable right to bear arms. It doesn't allow us to do anything. A lot of people don't seem to understand. They think that the Constitution or the amendments allow us to do stuff. There's a thing known as a right. And a right is not a privilege. The Second Amendment does not grant the people of America anything. Those who are completely unfamiliar with the founding documents of this country, and let's go through just a couple of them. Declaration of Independence, Constitution of the United States, and the Federalist Papers. If you are unfamiliar with these things, and the vast majority of Americans are, if you take any metropolis, let's take New York City. You got 8 million people in New York City. Something tells me that less than 200 of the people in New York City have ever read the Federalist Papers or even familiar with what the heck they are. The Federalist Papers are essentially a guide on how to interpret the Constitution. Okay, here's the Constitution. If you have questions about it, refer to the Federalist Papers. This is what we mean in detail. They didn't want the Constitution to be thick like an encyclopedia. But the reference guide is. So, the Second Amendment doesn't allow us anything. It guarantees a right, which is unabridgeable, unchangeable, by any government entity. Now, it says, this was written in the 18th century when Homeland Security was dependent on local militias. Well, let me explain something to you. The Second Amendment wasn't entirely about repelling foreign invaders. It was also about self-defense. And had you had any inkling as to what was actually in the founding documents of this country, including the Federalist Papers, and what the founding fathers actually wrote and said, you would know that it is also for personal protection. And at the time the person that wants to commit a murder with a knife, and here it is, let me see, any determined murder would be able to kill anyway, whether it be stabbing, beating, or strangling, but a gun makes the job that much easier. They only have to pull the trigger. Well, now there's a defeatist attitude. They're gonna kill anyhow, just let them do it. Just don't let them do it with a gun. We'll tackle that when we return. Stay tuned, guys. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. We're going to pick up where we left off at the end of the last segment. This goofball who doesn't understand anything at all about violent crime says that, you know, if a murderer is going to commit a murder, they just shouldn't be doing it with the gun. They should stab, beat, or strangle somebody to death. A gun just makes it too easy. Okay, well, what's the victim supposed to do, Jack Wagon? Just allow them to be a victim? Shouldn't they have a gun to be able to protect themselves? Because at the moment you realize a bad guy is coming after you, wants to mug you and possibly kill you, it's about the time they put their hands on you and start restraining you to a point where you can't do anything, like, say, call 911. Idiot. Says another thing. Today, guns are more of a liability than a necessity. According to the Stop Handgun Violence Organization, 40% of American households with children have guns. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? And Stop Handgun Violence is, yet again, an organization such as yourself, which is anti-gun. They're going to come up with any skewed statistic they can. Let me give you an example. Violence Policy Center, otherwise going by their initials of VPC, consider anyone up to the age of 25 to be a child in their definition. You understand that? The first quarter century of your life, according to VPC, you are a child. So if a 24-year-old man uses a gun to kill somebody or is killed by bullet fired from a gun, that goes into their statistics of a child death or a child-related gun violence. So when they put out their little sound bites, they put out their little snippets, they see something like 1.2 million children in the last 20 years have been killed by handgun violence. Well, that includes 18 to 24-year-olds, 18 to 25-year-olds, who are not actually children. You have to go to their definition of what a child is, because somebody might call them, that's not true. Hey, well, we considered anyone below 25 years old to be a child, so yeah, it is. Just look at our website. That's why we call them a child. Children. Okay, so let's see. A gun in the home is 22 times more likely to be used in an unintentional shooting than to be used to injure or kill in self-defense. Now, here's a question. According to whom? Where did you get these statistics? Now, I can just pull statistics out of my backside, as can anyone else. The question is, where did you get this one? I chalk this up to your backside. Just delete. Absolutely nothing to do with this. Gun laws vary from state to state. Many states require a permit to carry, with the exception of Vermont, Arizona, and Alaska, whom require no permit. Now, I live in Nevada. I don't need a permit to carry. Are you talking about carry concealed? Well, 48 states are good with carrying concealed. Two are not. Of those 48 that are good with carrying concealed, three of them do not infringe on their rights, on the rights of the citizens. Vermont, Arizona, Alaska. They do not infringe on the Second Amendment guaranteed rights of their citizens. The other 45 do. The other 45 states infringe on the rights of their citizens by requiring a permit to carry a gun. So that's what you should be writing about. Not that there are three that do not infringe on the rights, but 45 states do infringe on your rights. Actually, let's back this train up. 47 infringe on your rights, because two of them say you can't carry concealed at all. Wisconsin and Illinois. He continues by saying carries on by saying, the scariest part of the subject is that 37 states don't even require a background check to purchase firearms. For example, all of the guns used in the Virginia Tech massacre were purchased legally. All right. Let's tear this apart, because these are two absolute non sequiturs. They don't go together. All of the states require a background check to purchase a firearm from a federal firearms licensed dealer. If you're a dealer of guns and you have a federal firearms license, an FFL, issued by the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, then there's a background check for everyone who buys a gun. If it's person-to-person exchanges, so my neighbor wants to buy a gun, I sell him a gun, back and forth, we don't need background checks because it's our property. Again, I refer back to the founding documents, Declaration of Independence, which is actually the Declaration of the 13 Independent States. We shorten that to Declaration of Independence. The Constitution of the United States and the Federalist Papers. We refer to those. There is nothing to where, unless we're business and conducting business across state lines with interstate commerce, that anybody can deal with. They can get involved. I don't need to go through a background check to buy a car from the guy down the street. Likely, as well, we don't need to do that with a gun. And a gun being guaranteed that we can possess through the Second Amendment of the Constitution, they recognize that guaranteed right, that uninfringable right. There is no background check for person to person. But if you go through a store, there is a background check. The Virginia Tech massacre, that gun was purchased legally. As a matter of fact, it was purchased legally by the scumbag who shot the school up. As a matter of fact, it was purchased legally by the scumbag who shot the place up, and he went through a federal background check and passed it. So yet again, we're seeing bold-faced lies in some sort of opinion piece by an anti-gunner. For example, all of the guns used in the Virginia Tech massacre were purchased legally. Now, are you considering also all of the guns owned by the cops? All of the guns. Like there was a cache of guns. This guy went through a federal firearms licensee. He went through a background check. He bought the guns. Now, listen to this. According to firearms regulation in Canada, which then says, what the hell does anybody in Canada know about what's going on in the States? The gun death rate per 100,000 people in America is 13.47. It's much higher than in England, which is 0.4, and hundreds of times higher than in Japan, which is 0.07. Okay, first of all, I don't know if these statistics are true or not, but I'm not going to look at some sort of gun death rate by a Canadian organization. How are they going to know what's going on in the States? He continues, he, she, it continues by saying, this is saying that the U.S. has the most firearms-related deaths in the world. This correlates with the fact that Americans own half of the guns in the world. All right. Let's break this down. Most firearms-related deaths in the world. Something tells me that with the fourth largest population in the world, and we are free to own guns, it's possible we have more firearms-related deaths. I don't know. I've never seen the statistics. I just don't know. And that we own half the guns in the world, I seriously doubt that. Although we have the fourth highest population, we have an infinitesimal amount of actual people in the world. Unless the rest of the world is just plain unarmed, which it's not. And are the death rates that you're talking about here, scumbag, are they total gun deaths or are they percentage gun deaths? Because we by far don't have anywhere near the highest percentage of deaths. And how would we actually prevent a lot of these deaths? How would we get this under control? Well, we don't do it by taking guns away. We put guns into the hands of rational and responsible people, train them how to use them, and if the bad guys come around, you can defend yourself rather than just being another dead statistic. Enough bad guys get killed in a year or two because their intended victims shoot them to the ground? Well, the rest of the bad guys learn, and they go into a different line of business. He says, he, she, it says, there must be mandatory background checks on firearms purchases, period. Really? Okay. 51% of the guns used in crimes by juveniles and people 18 to 24 were acquired by straw purchasers, that being people who buy several guns legally through licensed dealers, then sell them to criminals, violent offenders, and kids. Okay. Where do you get this statistic? 51% of the guns used in crimes by juveniles and people 18 to 24 were acquired by straw purchasers. Now, that's a lie. That's just a lie. Absolute lie. Because we already have the statistics that over 80% of the guns that are used in crimes have been stolen. Now, that's not a straw purchaser. Somebody that buys a gun or guns through a licensed dealer and then offers them for sale, as this person would try to get us to believe, to criminals, violent offenders, and kids. Hey, I'm going to go buy some guns, and I'm going to sell one to this criminal, another one to this violent offender, and then these to the kids down the block. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. And you're saying 51% of those guns, that's the way it went? No. These guns are stolen. They're in the hands of people who shouldn't have them, who didn't buy them, who don't own them. And that's well over 80% of the guns. Well over. Now, let's see. Most pro firearms people argue that a person has to pull the trigger, but if the person had not been given a gun in the first place, there would be no trigger to pull. Interesting. You're right. There wouldn't be a trigger to pull. However, the real problem here is all of the victims that are out there that aren't able to defend themselves. On top of that, the parenting in this country has gone through the toilet in the last 40 years. Absolutely abysmal, sorry excuse for what should be parenting. He continues, we addressed this earlier. Any would-be murderer doesn't need to press a trigger. They could go to stabbing, beating, or strangling. Great. How about just driving over people in their car? How about if we start doing modified explosives to kill people? Would you be happier then, you idiot? They say every time the subject is politically debated, the NRA comes out waving the Second Amendment. Actually, the silent majority start actually sounding off. Say, but there are always ways to reduce crimes, homicides, and suicides. What we need done is to put stronger restrictions on firearms. The crimes and homicides, what we need are people who are going to refuse to be criminals. I'm sorry, refuse to be victims. And we need parenting for people who are just going down the wrong road. People who are scumbags probably ought to be neutered. Isn't it amazing that the people who really want to have kids and for some reason can't end up going through this incredibly expensive and long drawn out process to adopt so that they can be good parents? And the people who could care less about their kids are the folks who are just unproductive members of society, make terrible parents, and have a slew of children running around the house. It's just unfair. It almost seems as though the lower the IQ, the higher the sperm count in America right now. That's what it really seems. And I have to tell you, my own personal accountability. You know, we go through this Darwinism, this Darwin list. Now, not to really do anything but really mock upon this list that they come out with every year called Darwinism, which would be kind of the survival of the fittest. And it has the top 10 different self-inflicted deaths of people from doing incredibly stupid things. And every year it comes out, the Darwin Awards, they call them. When people do something incredibly stupid, they end up dying from it. Like somebody shaking a soda machine so hard that it falls over on top of them and crushes them. It's a buck. It might be 50 cents for a soda. And you're going to shake the living hell out of it and end up dying because it crushes you. Those things weigh thousands of pounds. Anyhow, I digress. I have to tell you, my own thought here, this might be somewhat comical for some of you. If we go back in time to the 1960s and find everything that never had a warning label on it, but they do now, and we remove all of those warning labels, all of the safety devices and safety checks that we have to have with OSHA and all this other garbage, and we go all the way back to the 1960s, the people who actually understand taking care of themselves and a little bit of safety are still going to be safe. The dumb ones, the stupid people, those are the ones that we're going to lose through attrition. You get it? Because if there weren't safety equipment or safety gear, safety labels for them to read, they would otherwise get injured or killed. And something tells me we'd have far less stupid people on planet Earth. We'd have far less stupid people in America. Let's just keep it at home. If we went back to the 1960s ways of doing things, when it came to, you know, seats and hats and helmets and safety labels and things. Now, some of you might think that's funny. I kind of do. Some of you might think, oh, that's atrocious. But imagine, how many stupid people do we have in America today? Drives me nuts. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. I'm
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on, we'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. I want to read this little story here. It says, cop shoots himself in the leg with an unloaded gun. Well, now, how is that possible? That's like, you know, a guy drives over himself with a car he doesn't own. You can't do that. This comes out of Valparaiso, Indiana. A recently sworn-in Hebron Reserve police officer shot himself in the leg Wednesday while unloading his gun before going inside a school to pick up his 5-year-old son. Daniel Glickoff, 29, of South Haven, was sworn in as a reserve officer on Monday. On Saturday, he completed the required 40-hour pre-basic training with the Hebron Police Department, according to Chief Sibrel. That training conducted in-house includes firearms training, Sibrel said. Although reserve officers continue to get further training once they are working with the force. It is just an unfortunate accident, Sibrel said, noting that Glickoff had surgery on his leg Wednesday and probably will still in the hospital. See, Glickoff, who shattered his femur into 8 pieces when the gun fired, will not physically be able to work with the police force for some time. After he's healed, quote, he's going to have to go through a department review. Imagine that. According to Porter Hospital in Velasperio, where Glickoff was taken following shooting, he did not release his condition or confirm that he is a patient there. Let's see. According to the police, he's there to pick up his son. He was in his vehicle in the parking lot just before 2:30 p.m. when he decided not to alarm any other parents by walking in with his firearm on his hip. So he also did not want to leave a loaded gun unattended in the vehicle. He ejected the magazine from the gun, ejected the round from the chamber, and inserted the ejected round back into the magazine, he told police. Then he attempted to put his magazine back in the gun, but it didn't fit right. Not being familiar with the Smith & Wesson Springfield 40 caliber handgun, although he said it was his personal gun that he also uses for work, he thought if he pulled the trigger, the magazine would seat properly. Instead, the gun fired and the bullet went into his upper thigh. Guys, I gotta tell you, he's lying, because if he takes the magazine out and removes the round from the chamber, there's no round in the chamber to be able to fire. You cannot fire an empty weapon. It's like you can't start a car without gasoline going through the system. You can't do it. So this is a lie. And again, as we talked about the rules earlier, point the muzzle in a safe direction. Don't have it cover anything you're willing to. If you're not willing to destroy your thigh, don't point the gun at it. And don't think that if you press the trigger somehow that a magazine's going to fit in the gun. Insert it forwards rather than backwards. If the magazine is too packed with ammo, you know what happens? It ends up that it won't fully seat. Don't pack it full of ammo. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, We will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.